Here we are, and that would be at 7:04 p.m. We are commencing our March 11th KPFT LSB meeting. This is a regular meeting, although we'll be seating some new people here. I'll note that on the top of the agenda, so this will be call to order. I do have, and we'll go through if we get, we'll see when we get Teresa on here, but, I did get
a request from, she's on
here. Okay. So we do have a request from PK for an excused absence. So okay. We called to order at 7:04. We have quorum, I believe. If you would call the roll, I would appreciate that.
Bear with me one when I want to put this down. Excuse. Okay. Melissa Bowie? I'm not hearing Melissa. Lillian Kerr?
Present.
Thank you very much, Lillian. Glenn Etienne?
Present.
Thank you. Lyndon Foley?
Here.
Oh, good to see you. Jerry Fowler? Not hearing Jerry. Is Lori Gabick on?
Yes.
Thank you. And Rhonda Garner?
Yes, present.
Thank you very much. And Robert Gartner? Not hearing Robert. Rico Enriquez?
Here, howdy.
Howdy. Rob Lee?
Present.
Thank you, Rob. Michelle Lightfoot?
Here.
Bravo. Anita Long?
Hello.
Not hearing Anita. PK's excuse. Sean Kelly McPherson? Not hearing Sean. Tori Mercer?
Here.
Thank you. Stuart Nance?
Here.
Thank you. Rick Norris?
I am here.
Thank you. Jane Scheidler?
Here.
Thank you. Debbie Smith?
Here.
Thank you. Ron Stubers?
Present.
Great. Michael Woodson? Not hearing Michael. Colby Wright?
Here.
Great. Susan Young?
Here.
Thank you. And Sandy Wyman? Not hearing Sandy.
He's here.
Sorry, here. Yep. I'm
Thank
here.
You, Sandy. Okay, seems like I did miss one person here.
You missed Richard, but Richard is not.
Richard Coral. Yes.
He's not here yet.
Present.
Thank you. Just wanted to be sure. Thank you.
All right.
We do have quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you kindly. All right. The next item on our agenda is approval of this agenda. So I will note that, again, that we're on the March 11th, 2026 KPFT LSB meeting. Public comment happens at a fixed time. That's 8:00. Agenda items may be pulled before or after. Public comment period of 30 minutes as required. You'll note if you read through your agenda that there are times associated with various agenda items. We try to stick to that. We try to adjourn by 10 p.m. That's a fixed time. Other times are estimates. So the first item is the call to order, which occurred at 7:04 p.m., I believe.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
I did talk with one of the newcomers, the newest members, and I'm sending out the agenda again to them because someone said that person had not received it. I'm sending out the agenda with the minutes attached to the three new people just so they know what's going on.
All right. Teresa, thank you.
Pardon me, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Teresa, would you be kind to send the link again to Michael Woodson?
Okay. Will do.
Okay. I'll have to figure out why, because the list that I had of people included new people when I sent the updated agenda out, but we'll see what happened with that. We'll do some checks after the meeting. So then item three then is the agenda approval. Item four is approval of minutes from the February 11th meeting. That was emailed out to, the 21 current board members on 2/27. Item five, new members. We have ratification of election results, which were attached, along with the agenda, seating of new members. These members are able to vote and are eligible for committee voting status, should they attend the committee meeting, upon seating. Those three people are, Richard Coral, listener representative, Lori Gabick, listener representative, and Rico Henriquez, staff representative. Item six is KPFT LSB secretary. If you read through your ED and chair from the PNB information, you'll note that Teresa Allen has been is now a member of the PNB, so cannot be or is not really willing to be secretary for this body, and so we'll be looking for a different secretary. We'll have nominations and election. Item seven is unfinished business, of which we currently have none. Item eight is new business. An item there is proposed creation of an inclusivity task force to formalize the work that has been going on. Item nine, staff recognition. Item 10, the GM report. Item 11, public comment. Item 12, the committee and task force reports. We've got development and outreach, governance, the committee of inclusion, of which we have to elect a PNB member to the COI, since we don't have one at the moment, and then inclusivity task force if it is formed. Item 13, the PNB director's report. Reports. Item 14 would be confirming that the next LSB meeting would be April 8th, 2026. And item 15, to adjourn the meeting, prior to 10 p.m. I've attached to the agenda, some time limits for speaking, the public comment time limits that we approved in the last meeting. The motion that was used for the election that elected our three new people, and then a proposed motion for the inclusivity task force. Are there any objections to this agenda as read? Susan, you have your hand up?
Yes. Anita Long, let me know she's trying to get in.
Okay. Great. Thank you. So hearing no objections to the agenda, we will move forward with the agenda as read. Item four then is approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. Are there any objections to, and I see Ms. Long is here. So if, you could say hello, then we'll record you as present.
Sorry, I couldn't get on. I don't know why, but anyway, I'm here now.
Good. Okay. Excellent. Approval of the minutes from the previous meeting. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, we will approve those February 11th minutes. Item five is new members, ratification of the election results. So I included the OPA vote information along with the agenda just for your perusal and for transparency. I always find that kind of interesting. But we ended up with our is there any objection to ratification of the election results as they were sent? Okay. not hearing any objection, the results of the election are ratified. That then seats our three new members, Richard, Lori, and Rico. So you are now voting members of this august body. So welcome.
Congratulations.
Thank and you. Just on behalf of the LSB, welcome. We appreciate you giving your time and effort, and hope you will find some committees that you can help with, or raising some funds. Sandy's always willing to help with some of that kind of stuff. Let's see. So item six then is the KPFT LSB secretary. Since Teresa is moved to the PNB, we have we open nominations for secretary of this body. Do we have nominations, Rob?
I have a nomination. I believe that our newest member, Richard Coral, is volunteering for this, and we certainly thank him for stepping up for that, assuming he is accepting. So thanks in advance.
Okay. Richard, will you accept that nomination? Richard, been nominated. You would accept that? Okay, great. Yes. All right, thank you.
I second the nomination.
All right, thank you. Other nominations? Otherwise, we can move forward with Richard then as our new secretary. Congratulations. That's yeah. Congratulations.
So,
yeah.
Mr. Chair, the question is, does he want to start taking minutes now, or does he want me to finish taking minutes for this meeting?
I was just going to say it might be easier for him to kind of observe a meeting and do it next time.
If you want to watch one, then I'll work with you to get the minutes done so that we can get them out.
That would be great. And I don't have an agenda for in electronic print, so that would be great. Yes.
Okay. Great. We will do that then. My apologies. I thought it got out to you guys, but apparently not. So. So we have then item six, our election of our LSB secretary. Item seven,
Mr. Chair.
Yes,
Ms. Young. I think Jane Scheidler had her hand up.
Do you? Okay.
Hi, Jane. I was just going to say, I would suggest that both of them take the minutes, and then they can compare notes, just as a kind of a trial run for the new secretary. It just is something that I've done before. It seems to work.
Okay. I did begin, just so you know.
Okay. Right. Great. Okay. And you know, we are recorded and we've got some AI thing that's going on. I have no idea where that ends up or how that all happens, but, it is an option as well. That might be helpful at some point in the future. So unfinished business, my understanding, item seven is that we don't have any unfinished business unless somebody has something that I haven't thought of. Item eight then would be new business, and that there was a proposal for creation of a task force to sort of codify the work that Michelle and PK have been doing. Michelle, is that motion something that you would like to bring forward at this time, or
who submitted the original plan to do that? Do we have a recollection of that?
Let's see.
I guess I'm trying to understand what is the task force going to do? What's the purpose of the task force? Is it just to get the immediate work that we're planning on doing now, which is some online training and then an upcoming team building session? Or is this a longer term?
So the motion, Susan, did you?
Yeah, I suggested this to Ron, although he crafted it. When Sandy was board chair, he identified a couple of task forces where, essentially it was working groups, dealing with special issues like fundraising or whatever. And, I suggested that this might be appropriate for you and PK, at least for the first efforts, which are training and the online and the in-person, and lining those up and seeing how people are signing up. And then there may be things that come out of that that would have a, further, opportunity.
Okay. That sounds reasonable, especially since I do agree that, we will probably have some after action items, especially after our live team building. So yes, I will put forward that motion.
Okay. Let me go ahead and read that, because it also notes that, that the task force is effective through the end of the 2026 calendar year. I'll note that, and I think, Susan may be talking about this a little bit later, that, although I'm not sure in this meeting, we'll see, but, that, you know, we have an election coming up this year, and for pretty much all of the positions that are now being held. And so, it seems like the seating of the new people or same people if the old ones are elected, happens at the end of 2026. It seems reasonable that that be a finish point. And if they want to continue on, then certainly the people that are working on those things can continue.
Second the motion.
But just to read it.
I second.
Yes. Oh, you second the motion. Okay. Let me go ahead and read it. Whereas members of the KPFT LSB have identified a need for training and attention to behavior of members of the board towards one another, I move that an inclusivity task force be created as a standing committee of the KPFT LSB effective through the end of the 2026 calendar year, and that its initial members be Michelle Lightfield and PK McCary. As those were the only people that I knew who'd actually been meeting. So we have a motion and a second. Are there any objections to this motion? Excuse me.
Mr. Chair, I have a question. Whose motion is this? Who made this?
Michelle.
Okay. All right. Mr. Chair, did you hear any objections to the approval of that motion? Where'd he go? Hilarious.
Mr. Chair may need a Heimlich.
Yeah, not sure what happened there, but
you're wrong.
No, excuse me. Hearing no objections, then that motion passes, and we have created the inclusivity task force. If its members want a different name, I guess they can think about that. Let's see. So is there any additional new business? Okay.
Ron, I was just going to say, if you need a 2-minute break, you could get a committee report from somebody. We could substitute that in for a minute and give you
we're almost there. So we have staff recognition next. So, so if there's not any additional new business, Item 9 is staff recognition. Do we have anybody with staff recognition? Rob?
First of all, I suggest you take a break and get a little small drink of whiskey.
You think that's what's going to
happen? Record. But two, I just wanted to congratulate Sandy and all the staff, I think, for their hard work on this fundraising. And again, I think others would probably agree, but we're starting to hear a little bit more. I don't know if it's professionalism. I don't want to use the wrong word, but a more concerted effort on the fundraising. In general, just, things are clicking correctly. And so congratulations to Sandy and all of his team. Because I know that it's a team effort in order to get this thing done with all the DJs participating. So congrats.
Great. Thanks, Rob. Debbie, you have your hand up?
Yeah, I wanted to, thank Rico and Howard. Here I am choking. Rico and Howard for, broadcasting the, Bearing Hardware, venue that we had. They did a great job getting us out there. Some of the people that were in the store wanted to hear it through the store, and they were like, why can't we hear it? But, that wasn't available. But Howard and Rico did a great job, I think. I want to thank them.
Great. Thanks for that. Debbie, Susan, you're next.
Yeah, I have to say that every time I listen to shows, Lillian, Stuart, I mean, I'm just so impressed. One that I have taken to is Elise is now doing music, and she does really wonderful stuff. In addition to, being a rip and read and fun drive personality, and I just wanted to thank her.
Great. Thank you, Susan. Not seeing other hands up. I'll put my hand up. I wanted to thanks, Sandy, for getting, I saw you sort of driving that effort every time that I tuned in. You were there in addition to whoever was on the radio. So, for pushing that effort through and making it short. So, I know that I'm sure the programmers are happy that they got back to their programming, and we were glad to get back to the music or the talking or whatever was on. Thanks. Rhonda?
I'd like to thank Teresa Allen for her service as the secretary, and also for her moving forward and serving on the PNB. Historically, Teresa always goes above and beyond, regardless of her title in the organization. So thank you for everything that you do, Teresa.
Thank you, Ron.
Hear, 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 hear.
Thank you. All right. Do we have other items of staff recognition? Not seeing some at the moment. Lillian, is your hand up?
Yes, sorry. Okay. Sorry, I was looking for the button, but, we have a new, intern, on the conversations show, Lily, and she seems to be working out very well. At least my encounters with her on the show have been great. And Jack Van Beber's doing an excellent job as well.
Great. Thank you. All right, that's staff recognition. So our next item is the GM report. Mr. Weinman, if you'll take it away.
Thank you. I take it that was GM recognition. Internet broke up. It's kind of squirrely tonight. So thank you. Yes, we did complete that last drive successfully. And for those of you that keep track of these sort of things like I do, we finished it in 20 days. Now, these drives of this magnitude, we've done, I guess, three of these now, We've been successful in all three, but this one cut 2 days off the time of the quickest drive prior to that to make the goal. 20 days total on air. The goal overall is to reduce that to 10 days, which sounds nuts, but we can do it. It's a sustainer program that cut at least 10 days off this drive. So we're going to continue to chase that as aggressively as we can. And I've got some other data on that a little bit later. But when I last looked, we just eclipsed $188,000 for this drive, which ends tonight at midnight. That's when the Allegiance Fund Drive window closes. So anyway, thanks to all that donated that are on this call, a number of you did. So thank you for that. I want to, a little more on the drive. We partnered with Mana Food Pantry, and I want to thank Jack Van Bever, who sat out in front of the building Saturday and Sunday and waited patiently for people to drive by and drop off food and greet them and maybe give them a tour of the station. And then, you know, help bring all that stuff in and put it in one spot. And Rico's on the call with me. He and I drove one carload down there. I had already taken another carload prior to that. We did pretty well. They were super happy to see us at the Mana Food Pantry. The Blues Cruise, which was part of the fun drive, is sold out. That sold out faster than any other one of these cruise events we've done. So that's fully funded and is a good fundraiser, as inside of a fundraiser for us. The KPFT 56th birthday party, for those of you that don't know, is March 29th. That's a Sunday from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Northside Columbus Club. That's Knights of Columbus. It's a $75 ticket, a pair for $130. It's all the crawfish you can eat. And you'll get a couple of drink tickets with that. I want to thank Clint Broussard, who got some beer barrels donated today from Carbach. That'll help contain our cost. This is not cheap to put on. For those of you that have been in a restaurant and tried to get a bucket of crawfish, you know what I'm talking about. 5-pound bucket in this case. Let's see, what else? I want to thank Teresa for coming in and making those lapsed donor calls. We brought in $4,869 this fiscal year so far. We have a little bit more work to do there, but thank you for that. Every penny does count. I want to thank Elise and Marlo and Robin, all who logged a significant number of hours pitching, as did I. As Ron pointed out, we were trying to keep on a very structured basis and drive the drive and then set the expectations for each show and make sure that each show got as close to or exceeded those expectations. Again, keeping that on pace helped to get this over with quickly, which we all appreciate. So thank you to Elise, Marlo, and Robin for logging those extra hours instantly with Rico and Jack and Mayana, who produced the black hair. It gave everything a very nice, tidy, and unique sound that we can all be very proud of. Robin Lewis cannot be overlooked. Without Robin, there's no successful fund drive. There's no nothing. She keeps everybody on track. She makes sure the programmers know where they are, who to thank, and logs in handwritten pledges, phone call pledges, just constantly getting into Allegiance and making sure all the data is there correctly, which leaves KPFT as the most organized station in the Pacific Network back office, no question. As Donald Trump would say, it's not even close, but I don't want to talk like that. Our brick garden also expanded recently. If you come out now, the airplane's flying over. You can actually see it, I'm told, as you approach Hobby Airport on a Southwest flight. So it's starting to look like something. And we've got a few more bricks on order. We're batching them. We're trying not to order any fewer than, I think it was 15 at a time. So we're building the next lot of 15 and then we'll place that order, and then we'll get a couple of those orders and then install the next batch. That's how that goes. I want to thank Susan Darrow, who I think just got back from a trip down under. She took off the end of the drive, but at the beginning of the drive, she was right there getting those tickets for us and helping getting us underwriting contracts with places like the Heights Theater. So, again, a terrific volunteer effort, Susan Darrow. I want to thank Terry Gardner, who has the show Can You Dig It? I don't know if you've heard this show yet. It's a gardening show. It's 30 minutes in the morning. Rico, which morning is it? Help me out here, man. I'm sinking.
It's on Wednesdays at 10.
There you go. You got a built-in expert on the board. Ask Rico. Okay. But anyway, he's been, he cleaned up those planters out front and put a couple of little plants in there. I think we got some peppers growing and I don't know what else, but he's maintaining that. I just want to thank him for that. He's also been bringing in garden greens like broccolis and other things that are just right out of the garden and the best I've ever seen. You can't get that in the store, what he's doing. True farmer market freshness. I want to thank Arlo for coming down and taking care of the yard. We have fewer weeds and we even have some green stuff growing out front. Thank you, Arlo. He really is taking care of stuff. Now he's working on a studio lighting project with Rico. So he's a man of many talents and, again, a very valuable volunteer in our environment. Thank you, Stuart. He's on the call with us. We've been working on that studio to transmitter link, and Stuart's been assisting with the permitting and wrangling drawings and requirements and was out there when the tower people were out there trying to locate which is the optimum spot. And had good input on that. So thank you, Stuart, very much for your efforts. Don't get too happy. We got a lot more to do. Mo Thomas was just here. For those of you that listen closely, you've noticed we've had a problem with the volume shifting around. It's annoying, was annoying as hell. We had incorrect routing of our signal path through certain gear at the transmitter. What does that mean? We have an EAS unit, Emergency Action System unit. It was wired in incorrectly between the transmitter and another component. Mo fixed the routing. That problem is gone, thank God. He also dropped off a 2-kilowatt backup transmitter. He's out in LA. When he returns this way, when he moseys this way, he will install that backup transmitter. So we're working on all those things as we've been talking about the last couple of months. I want to thank HCCTV. I put a link in the report. I don't know if it's a live link or not, but they did a little segment, and I was featured on this little talk panel show for about 12 minutes, very much like our Amplified Houston show, 12 minutes of fame, you know. And it was kind of fun being in a TV studio. You don't wear headphones. Threw me off completely. But I want to thank them. There's a little bit of extra exposure there, and that's what we're looking for, any kind of extra exposure. I want to thank Howard and Rico for extending that flawless remote from Bearing Hardware. That was so much fun that day, and so many people showed up. It was really just almost overwhelming. And we were way back in the corner at a table, and I couldn't see the front door for anything for all the people in between me and that door the whole time. So thank you, Rico, for hanging out in the studio, and Howard for lugging all that stuff in and out of the place. And it actually all worked. Marlo was there and helped. Sandra Rawline stood up and helped with the square to take donations. But anyway, it was a good day of funding, but moreover, it was just pure fun, at least from my perspective. We have a new show, an interview format show that's going to be starting up in March. And that's the Here and Now with Amanda Sapp show. It's going to be on political, civic, and cultural city leaders, featuring on women as a lead there. And this is also tied to the women's home and their great support for KPFT. So we're expanding the morning to include that show. Midterms will move to the evening is the plan, for the moment. Amplified Houston, veteran Anna Coffey from the Women's Home and a partner will be Leader's Choice is the name of their show. And they'll be looking at leadership through nonprofits, women taking the lead on a lot of issues in and around the city again. So we're beefing up our programming in that direction. The community radio has to respond to times, and we all see what's happening. We all have two eyes. We all have a good brain, and we can all process this. And it's super important that we give back in the form of programming. So I'm grateful for Marlo getting that all together, but even more grateful for the volunteers about to cast their ego on the line, right? Actually step up and get behind the mic. So good stuff. Coming events, Art Car Parade. I think we're still looking for volunteers. The Blues Cruise is sold out, done and done. Still looking for Amy Goodman and her Steal This documentary screening sometime in May. This is being fronted by a for-profit group, and we've already had some experience at Pacifica up with BAI where they offered them 4 tickets. You know, thank you. We're trying to get the whole theater, so we'll see how this all turns out. Our next fund drive is May to June, and of course, the elephant in the room, March 29th at the Northside Columbus Club. We're doing our 56th birthday, big crawfish boil. Again, if you don't have tickets, get them. But everybody on this call, if you can, if you're able, please contact Robin and volunteer to help at the event. Take a shift. We're going to be doing this from noon or about 11:30 in the morning until about 6 at night. Excuse me. Thanks, Ron. Now I got it. And we're going to have 3 shifts, and we're looking for about 15, 16 volunteers. At last count, I think we had about 6 or 7, maybe 8. So we need to double what we got now, and then we'll be organizing and going over what we need and how it all goes down, okay? But if you're able to on this call, especially on this board, please do help take a couple hours and volunteer, and then go eat all those crawfish. There may be a half a ton of crawfish there, more crawfish than people. Our web presence, I put some data into the report. We're doing really well. We're going after a younger audience, Blue, the afternoon operations coordinator, is working on that alongside Elise. And things are picking up on as from the graphical data that you see in the report are picking up. We're consistently attracting attention through social media, almost like a billboard. Cumulative listening, 84,600 hours with a market share 0.3. Starting February, I'm sorry, fund drives over. Monthly sustainer income set a new high, $27,065. Coming from 1,570 donors. And again, this represents around 46% of our operating needs each month. Pretty close to target. Our target would be 30 in this case. So we're going to keep after this until we hit our target. And please do, when you talk to people about KPFT, if they say, oh, I gave to that station, well, tell them to give again, $5 a month. Become a sustainer. We put enough people together, the station can autopilot from a funding perspective, and it make things a lot easier on those people that will inherit all of this down the road in a few years. Available cash in the bank also set a new high, $274,197.12. But before we do the happy dance, we still have to spend around $25,000 on our tower project. And there may be a $8,000 bill due Nautel. I believe it's paid, but I'm not sure. So on the cautious side, being on the conservative side and subtracting grant funds, which are restricted, we have enough money in the bank to operate the station for about approximately 15 weeks right now. So we're in good shape, folks. So I'll take any questions you might have. Thank you.
Susan, I believe you're first in line?
Sorry, I know I talk too much, but I wanted to add to what Sandy said, both about Sandy and about Robin. Now that I serve on the PNB, I get some understanding of how the other stations are working or not working. And Robin is known as being the allegiance whisperer. She trains other stations. And Sandy, your written report is by far the best. So much information, timely. And I mean, there are many ways in which KPFT is the model for how a station should be run.
Great. Thank you, Susan. Rhonda, you're up.
Sandy, I wanted to let you know that I came in today and I worked with Robin from 11 to 3 on the expired credit cards. And we formalized something where I'm going to be there every Thursday from 11 to 3. And she'll work on her laptop while I work on those credit cards. So I'm hoping that in the meeting next month, we'll have a really good report with that effort.
That's really good, Rhonda. That's the kind of thing where these cards, you know, you get a wrong digit when you take the pledge or the cards expire or, you know, a lot of things happen with your credit cards, as we all know. And since we do have a number of people in the system using credit cards at this point, we're constantly, every month we see, you know, 30, 40 opportunities. So thank you very much for that.
Great. Yeah. Thank you, Rhonda. And just a note, I can attest that, cards fall off for all kinds of reasons. You know, like I'm a sustainer and I had a card that, things were being put on and, you know, I don't know, some fraud activity or something happened. And so they switched the numbers out, and it stopped. And it took me a few months to figure out that I wasn't on there anymore. So keep an eye on it. And we do appreciate the effort of people getting back on there and contacting those folks.
It's great. Really, really important.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Wyman, for the GM report. So, since we're still at about a quarter till 8, we'll move on to item 12, which is the LSB committee and task force reports. The first of which would be development and outreach. And Risa, you were on here.
Yes.
There you are. Okay.
Oh, thank you. Just want to remind people, as Sandy said, we are looking for volunteers to work the anniversary party to take a shift and call Robin at 713-526-4000 extension 4 or email her. We are also looking for people who would like to distribute information at the ARCAR parade coming up, which I believe is the second Saturday in April. And I'm sorry, but I cannot recall. I didn't write down what I wanted to report. But if you're the kind of person who would like to either walk on a parade or do some tabling or stand with a clipboard and try to get people to give you email addresses so we can put them on our email list, we would love for you to just make that known to us. I did send a copy of the minutes for the development and outreach committee to all of the members and also the three newly seated members. So if you have any questions, don't hesitate to contact me about that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Teresa. Second is, governance. We have Deb. Sorry, Rob, you had a question? You're muted.
Yeah. Teresa, would you like for me to add, I do have the notes on the meeting. And
sure would. Thank you.
Yeah. One of the things that we did go over was we were talking about legacy giving. And we've got, I don't know how many, but call it 24 members of our board. On our website, under the donate button, is a great 2 pages of information about how you can donate to KPFT besides being a sustainer or writing a check or calling in and giving your credit card. I would challenge all of the members of the board to go in and review that. You just basically hover over donate, and then you kind of will see a pop-up and you go down to legacy giving. And we should all familiarize ourselves as we get out in the community. Each of us, we don't want to go over the details, but the objective would be for us to, somebody says, hey, I'd like to leave something to KPFT in my will, or maybe I'm going to change my IRA beneficiaries and leave 10% to KPFT and 90% to my kid or my dog or whatever. And so all of the various options that are available for legacy giving, which almost always are much, much bigger than small gifts that come through monthly donations or one-time gifts, are there. And really, each of us should be an ambassador. We do not want to be experts. We don't want to tell them what to do. If they want to name us in the will, there's language in there, et cetera. All of that information is there. What I would like for people to do is just read it, be familiar with it, and all of our objectives would be to, if we find somebody like that, that we have identified that would be good, our job is to try to get that name to Robin, and it's Robin's job to bring it on home, and she has the expertise to be able to do that. So that was one thing that was brought up there. And again, I think we're negligent that we've never brought this up to board members. And I'd hope that you'd all spend a few minutes read up on that. And you never know when the situation presents itself to you. Otherwise, the other things that I had notes from this last meeting were pretty much what we've discussed today. But if anybody has a question on legacy giving, I'm happy to visit with them, whether it be now or offline.
Great. All right. Thank you, Rob. Then we have B on item 12 would be the governance committee. Debbie, are you?
Yeah, we have our next meeting is going to be March 17th, and due to our secretary resigning just shortly after that meeting, we have an interim secretary, so I would say that we probably are going to do some nominations for a permanent secretary, and we'll have an agenda posted soon of that meeting. That's pretty much everything that I can remember and think of.
Okay, great. So 17 March.
7 p.m.
Debbie, right. do you know if that meeting is posted on KPFTX?
We were trying to get it on there, and I will have to look. Let me look real quick.
I'll check for it. But okay. Last time I was on there, it wasn't.
I saw that prior. Too, and so we were.
I believe it is.
We were trying to get it on.
Okay.
It's all on right. there.
It's on there now?
It is on there.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Great. All right. Thank you. Then item C is, so we have a few minutes left, the Committee of Inclusion. We have, let's see, Adriana is not here. It doesn't seem like we have any. Yes, Susan, you have?
Yeah, I think the members are Adriana, PK, Tori, and Nancy Saibara Naratomi and Lillian. So they may be able to report, but you have on the agenda that we need to elect a PNB member to the Committee of Inclusion. And
that is correct.
And so
go ahead. Sorry.
And Teresa is willing to serve, and I think the other three of us feel as though our dance cards are already full.
So since there are only four members, one of whom has agreed to serve and the other three are not very excited about doing that, are there any objections to Teresa being a PNB member of the Committee of Inclusion? And no, and not hearing any objections, thank you very much for volunteering to for that effort, and I appreciate that.
Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you, Teresa.
You could put that on your resume now. That'll be good.
He's challenging.
Item D then would be the inclusivity task force. So I think PK is out this evening. Michelle, if you could just run back through what is currently available and where you are, that I think is probably all we can ask for this evening. Maybe not. Okay. So I think that, is she there? Let's see. No, I think she,
I lost you guys.
Okay. Yeah. So, if you could just update us, give us a couple of minutes about, where the efforts that you and PK had been up to are and what we have available.
So I need to get with PK now. I've been kind of tied up during the primary election doing volunteer work there, but we do have a free link to training and I'll share that with you guys for the online training. And I've been reviewing the content, some content that PK shared with me. As well as some that the person who's willing to facilitate with us shared with me. And I'd like to have an opportunity to get with PK. And I have just a couple of questions for her around her content, and I'd like to share the other content with her and see and get her idea on how we should structure our team building.
Okay, great. And if you get a date when you think it might be reasonable for you guys and maybe to get other folks' input as well, that would be great.
No, we just want to spring it on you. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, we'll that also happens, but yeah.
Yes, it does. No, once we have something together, and I would imagine we would have it by the next board meeting, We'll give you guys an overview of what we plan on doing, venue, and more around the logistics at that time. We should be able to get it all together.
Great. Thank you very much. Sorry for putting you on the spot on that one.
But, oh, no problem. No problem at all.
Debbie, you have...
So, question for Michelle. So, Michelle, we don't need to do anything as far as the link for training until after you and PK have ironed it out, right?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that she's had an opportunity to view the online training first and provide any input and see if she perceives any gaps there before we share the link with everybody else, if that's okay.
Okay.
But if we choose this class or another class that's similar, everybody will still have a free link to the training.
Okay.
Okay, great. And that brings us to just prior to our public comment section. So our bylaws call for a 30-minute interval for public comment in LSV meetings. This gives an opportunity for the public to address the board, although not for the board to respond to the public. The rules for this time are that we can talk about lots of things, but not personnel issues, ad hominem attacks, or derogatory statements about people. If we have difficulties, the chair will give a warning, and if things continue, then people can be ejected from this portion of the meeting. Things have been pretty good recently, so thank you for that. Board members are not allowed to comment, speak, or respond. Time for each speaker is 3 minutes, and if all speakers have had an opportunity, then people who have spoken before may speak up to 2 times. We also have today a couple of folks from nonprofits around town who have requested time to speak. So, and I see that those people are in the meeting, so we'll launch up there. I think I'm thinking about 5 minutes for those. So first, I think that Mr. Twaddle, Randy Twaddle, was his executive director of the John Ferry Garden in Hempstead, was the first on the list. Susan, do you want to say something about that, or should we just let him go ahead? You're now muted.
Yeah. So I invited Randy and Reka, and I sent to everybody a brief note about who they are and what the organizations are. But I'm grateful that we are providing this time in public comment for us to learn more about the many, many nonprofits and civic groups who, you know, who work in our area. So, Randy's first and then Reka.
Okay.
You have the floor.
Okay. Susan, thank you for the opportunity and the board the opportunity to come, give you a little brief, idea about the garden. I am the executive director and artist in residence of the John Ferry Garden, which is a 39-acre botanic garden located about 3 miles west, 3 miles east of Hempstead, kind of halfway between Hempstead and Prairie View. We are in an incorporated village called Pine Island, Texas, but we don't have a post office, so our address is Hempstead. The garden was founded by John Ferry, who was born in South Carolina into a family of gardeners. And then he went on to study art in Pennsylvania. He studied at the University of Pennsylvania and the Philadelphia Institute of Art. And while he was there, he heard about a teaching job at Texas A&M University in College Station, applied for that job and received it. So he moved from Philadelphia to College Station, and a few months later moved to Houston from College Station, I think because it was a little too small for him. But he commuted back and forth between Houston and College Station for several years and got tired of it. So he looked for a property that was halfway between the two and found this 7-acre property off of Highway 359 out here that he purchased. There was a house on the property he renovated. And then he never made another painting as long as he lived, and instead explicitly considered the garden his studio. So he was basically trading oil paint for plant material and soil and sun and rain and all of those elements that make a garden. He started gardening and was creating a garden very typical of South Carolina gardens where he had grown up, with camellias and magnolias and azaleas and very well-manicured lawns. And then in 1983, 12 years after he had started his garden, a freak tornado blew through the property and tore off the canopy. So he went from having a very shady garden to a very sunny garden and started researching native Texas plants, which at the time, native plants were not nearly as popular as they are today. And they were introduced to a man named Lynn Lowry in Houston. He was a Houston nurseryman and plantsman who was proselytizing, the first person to really proselytize for native plants. Through that association, 5 years later, Lynn asked John and a friend of his, Carl Schoenfeld, to go to Mexico on a plant expedition trip. They went to the Sierra Madre Oriental Mountains of northeastern Mexico. The trip completely blew John's mind, and he and Carl went back 106 times to collect seeds and cuttings from Mexican plants. They identified some areas there that, first of all, was very under-researched part of the country. So there are lots of plants there that people were not aware of. They also saw that they were in danger of becoming extinct due to overgrazing and development. So they started bringing these plants back, started a nursery called Yuccadu to sell these plants, and they were responsible for introducing dozens of plants into ornamental horticulture here in this region and the United States. So consequently, we have the garden design. John incorporated his art sensibilities into this creation of the garden. But we're also known for our conservation efforts. We have some rare and endangered species here And we are a member of a consortium. So we steward five or six different species of oak trees and a species of magnolia trees, all of which John found in Mexico. So a lot of Mexican oaks. We have a berm dedicated to those oaks, which John planted from acorns that he wild collected in Mexico. We have many woody lilies, yuccas, agaves, other succulents, so Mexican oaks, Mexican woody lilies, and then other plants from Mexico. Also in the garden, there are plants from Asia, a large number of plants from Asia as well. In total, we have about 4,500 plants in the garden, and probably 1,000 or so unique taxa. John added on to that 7 acres. He added 12 acres. And then, in 1998, he joined the Garden Conservancy. We are Preservation Project Garden with the Garden Conservancy, which was founded to help private gardens transition into public gardens. So, half of the property, the original, or the 7 acres plus the 12 acres is under an easement with the Garden Conservancy, meaning we have to maintain it in perpetuity, in the spirit of John Ferry. The other 20 acres is undeveloped, and our nursery property is on the other 20 acres. So we do primarily propagate for introduction and replacement at our garden. Secondarily, we do trading with other botanic institutions. We trade plant materials. And thirdly, we do have a nursery that we sell to the public from 9 to 3, Tuesday through Saturday. A little plug on Saturday, March 28th, we are having our big budding out plant sale and festival from 10 o'clock to 3 for non-members, and members get in an hour early. There'll be eight different plant vendors there selling a range, a very wide variety of plants. We'll have food and music and refreshments and artisans and photography as well. So it's a fun day. $5 for members, $10 for non-members. So we try to keep it affordable and accessible to everybody. That's a maybe it. Susan, does that cover it, you think?
Great. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that that information. Okay. Very interesting. And I appreciate you coming to our meeting.
Y'all come visit anytime. So jfgarden.org is our website. Every Saturday we have open days. We only do docent guided tours for people who are not members. Members can walk through the garden freely on their own on Saturdays. So come visit us. Thank you for the time.
Great. Thank you. And we also have Rekha Lakshmanan, if I pronounce that correctly, from the Immunization Project or Partnership, sorry. 5 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. And good evening, everybody. And just appreciate Susan and the board for the opportunity to come and share a little bit about our organization. We're kind of on the opposite spectrum of Randy, although I think the common ground is Randy's a steward of rare plants. And, you know, we like to say at the Immunization Partnership, we are the stewards of good health for children and for Texans across the state. We are a mission-driven organization based in Houston, but we work statewide. And simply, you know, we believe that no one, especially children, should get sick or die from a disease that is preventable. We have been around now for a little over 17 years. We were birthed out of Texas Children's Hospital in the late 1990s when, lo and behold, the Houston and Texas and then the nation had a significant measles outbreak. You know, who would have thought? And Dr. Ralph Feigen, who was a revered pediatric infectious disease specialist, founded at that time the Houston Immunization Registry. It was a database to be able to track children in Houston who were vaccinated against measles. And then in 2008, the board of directors decided to repurpose us as that registry folded into a statewide immunization database. And the board realized that there needed to be an organization to do community education about vaccines, as well as to advocate for sound vaccination policies. And so that has been part of our cornerstone since 2008. We are dedicated to protecting children and families and communities through vaccine education, advocacy, and community partnerships. The way we do that is we help families and communities access clear and trustworthy information to help them make informed decisions. We also work to protect the policies in the public health systems that make vaccination possible. So things like making sure that people have easy access to vaccines, they have access to trusted information, as well as protecting school vaccination requirements that has been a cornerstone of public health for more than half a century. And, you know, when I joined the organization about a dozen years ago, people would ask me, gosh, do you really need to have an organization that, you know, educates about vaccines and promotes vaccine policies? Well, I mean, fast forward to today, which is, this is, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, this is why the partnership exists. You know, we're in the throes of a massive measles outbreak across the country. You know, we're hearing that there are advisories now for people traveling abroad to Europe because of polio concerns. And we really want to serve, you know, our constituency and our communities with the best possible factual information to help them make those decisions when it comes to protecting their children and their families and themselves. And so our goal is to kind of continue to build trust. But like I said, to ensure that also we have the right policies in place to allow our doctors and our nurses and our community partners to educate around vaccines. So we don't have to worry about measles, and we don't have to worry about polio, and we don't have to worry about whooping cough in the future. So our ultimate North Star is to make sure that every child in every community has the chance to be healthy and protected and to be able to thrive and have a healthy future. And again, thank you so much.
Great. Thank you kindly for addressing the board and giving us good information. Appreciate that. Mr. Harper, I think you are the next person up.
Thank you, Ron. How are you doing?
Well, thank you. Go right on ahead.
Well, I'd like to say that our fund drive was very successful, and I'm very proud to have now 10 years service with KPFT. So I'm happy to be here. This is my second home, and I always look forward to the board meeting. Sometimes I can't make it because other things come up, but I'm happy that we're doing more successful than what we were before in the past. So that's all I have, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate those kind words, and congratulations on your 10 years. Do we have other members of the public who would like to speak? Nancy, I see that you're on here. Your hand is up. You have the floor. Nancy, go ahead. You are now muted. Now you're good.
Can you, am I heard?
Yes, we can hear you.
Can anybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. I'd like to say that, The Air Voices show is listed on the HD2 channel, and it's listed twice. One is on Thursday at 8 p.m., but it's really not Air Voices. It's a Buzz and Beats music show. It has nothing to do with air music at all, and it's marked Air Voices. And this has been going on since August of last year, the last 2 weeks, or maybe the last week of August. And then the Arab Voices is 8 a.m. Friday. That show, it's, if you look at the archives, he Saeed has put an outline of all the points on his show. I think that's a real good thing for programmers who have public affairs shows, is to put the outline of the show. And anyway, this show is on the HD2, and there's a big genocide going on. I hope management understands that, and that we should have that show also on the HD1. And the LSB voted to recommend the manager put the Air Voices also on the HD1, which is the FM channel, which is going to have a wider audience. The HD2 is going to be restricted to HD radios in some cars and in some HD radios that very few people have, but that's a limited audience. I strongly recommend that we, KPFD, put that Air Voices on the FM channel. The other thing I want to say is 21 people died while in the Harris County Jail last year. And we don't have a very good record at Harris County. It's pretty bad. I don't know about other states, but we hit the biggest record was, I think, 3 years ago. It was 28, but 21 is still bad. We should have a town hall.
Yeah, Nancy, I apologize, but it's been 3 minutes.
Okay, and I want to say that Randy was given 8 minutes, and so keep that in mind. Please watch the clock. Thank you.
Oops. Sorry, Rob, I muted you. Is there another member of the public who would like to address the board? Lacking that, Nancy, you have another 3 minutes. You have the floor.
I thought 6 minutes. Oh, it's only three?
Two sets of 3 minutes.
That's correct.
Or 6 minutes total. Yeah.
I thought it was 6 minutes each.
No.
And then you, second time you get 6 minutes again.
No.
Anyway, the previous speaker, the first one had 8 minutes. The second speaker had 4 minutes. I forgot what Tom. Tom was very short. All right. I want to say another thing is that the we don't have any Spanish language shows except for Immigrant Alerta, which is a 30-minute show, and it's half. It's bilingual. But we have Colecto Latinoamericano, Voz de la Tierra. Those two shows have news. Voz has international news, and Proletto Latino has more national news. And they need to be on the FM1 because the ethnic Spanish language, it's a majority-minority already since the last census report. Our area it has the most Spanish language population here in Houston, and Los Angeles is the second largest, although KPFK, our sister station in LA, has all weekday evening in Spanish programs. We have only three shows in Spanish, and that bilingual show, Immigrant Alerta, but only one show on the FM. if we're going to build up our audience of the Spanish language culture people, this is not the way to do it. We need to put more shows with Spanish or bilingual, Spanish and English on the FM. Okay, the other thing I'd like to say is we need to do some town halls about the Harris County Jail. Another thing is that this September, 12 elementary schools will be closing because of we have a horrible situation here at Houston Independent School District. We lost a lot of good teachers, lost a lot of students, parents pulling their kids out, and reduced the funding for special education. It's just a horrible disaster. We should have a town hall, and we'd get new audience. We will get all these young parents. They may not even know KPFD. I bet they don't. I mean, we should do that. We should do a town hall on a Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon with these kind of, and then really bad things, like we're number one in the nation in deportations, disappearing people. We should have a town hall on these horrible issues. The other thing is on the HD2 on Sunday, I like it because it's lots of public affairs from morning until night. But there are three shows that need to be off.
Nancy, I apologize again.
It's just playing very.
But now you've had another 3 minutes. Yeah, the 3 minute timer is up a second time.
Thank you for your input. Do we have other members of the public who would like to address the board? Mr. Harper, you have the floor.
Muted.
Tom, can't hear you. Where are you?
You're muted, Tom.
Tom Harper? You have the floor if you...
The commissioner, precinct commissioner, or the judge. It's not responsibility of KPFT. I understand that is a problem in that jail. I know about the problem. It has been addressed. But it should not concern the LSB or KPFT. We're trying to concentrate on how to raise money and, keep our programming going the way it is. And, I'm sorry, but the last speaker, is way off track. And that's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So Nancy, what we've got is 2 3-minute sections per person. Other than that, then the board moves on. Business. No, you don't have another, you had 2 3-minute, sessions. So all for this evening.
But this,
thank you for those.
But the bylaw says it's 30 minutes for public comment.
Right. And the board has determined that we're going to have up to two 3-minute sessions per person. So thank you for your input. That takes us. So we will, if we have other members of the public who wish to address the board, we've got another 6 minutes of public time left. Other than that, we have gotten to item 13 on agenda, which is the director's reports, PNB director's reports.
Mr. Chair, I would like to call to your attention. I see that Michael Woodson's on the call. If he would speak up, we could count him on the roll.
I am here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad to be here. Director's reports. Susan, would you like to lead that off? You're muted. Yeah. There you go.
Okay. Hold on. I sent a report out to everybody, and also you and I both forwarded the executive director's report, which is incredibly complete. Lots and lots of information, and the director's reports from now forward will be posted on Pacifica.org so people can find them readily. The PMB last met on March 5. We seated Teresa Allen to fill the KPFT vacancy. There was also a vacancy on KPFA, and Darlene Pagano filled that vacancy. And we're fortunate, I mean, as Rhonda said, both our experienced board members bring considerable skills to the efforts we have right now. At the March 5th meeting, the ED gave an update on the search for a national election supervisor. The board voted to extend the search period until Monday. The process for the election and the deadlines are specified in the bylaws, and the schedule for the 2020 bylaws that we've followed for a long time are the same for the 2025 bylaws. I would like to suggest that the governance committee hear a briefing about how the election is to proceed this year. In addition to the ED's report, there's an IRS letter confirming Pacifica's status as a 501c3. There's been a lot of back and forth about that. But it is now posted there. The IRS is not easy to deal with these days for everyone, because it's been cut back so much. So they are not keeping, their various websites, up to date. At the end of this report, I also provided the ED's announcement, for naming Pacifica News Startup Coordinators, and read about that more fully. The PNB then met in executive session to act on recommendations from the audit committee. The audit committee has been doing a lot of good work. Three audit firms have presented their credentials. We did a good assessment of those. Sally Gellert from WBAI did a wonderful job of comparing the proposals. The board authorized me as chair and the executive director to enter into an engagement with the firm that had the lowest bid. We're in conversations with them now about whether there are factors that we need to address with them independently. National Finance Committee meeting again on the 17th, and they will be looking at policies and procedures for financial management. Governance Committee meets on March 19 and will be considering a couple things. One, we're asking all PMB members to of the committee to check on the postings for their LSBs and committees, LSB committees, of their agendas, minutes, and recordings. We will also be trying to seek, and I want everybody to do this, questions, suggested questions for a listener survey, which will be conducted by the national office. And by the way, Teresa took Marianne Martinez's place on this committee. I'm an ex officio voting member. Michael is on the KPFT NFC. Personnel committee. We are having completed the ED 2025 performance review and engagement agreement. So we are taking a break for right now, but we will reconvene when we get things like the audit set up to address personnel, a personal handbook, grievance procedures, organization chart, job descriptions, and other personnel matters. And the ED has requested our assistance. those are my reports.
All right. Great. Thank you. Do we have other directors who'd wish to present something, or that's pretty much covers?
I'll say something. I haven't gone to any committee meetings yet, but I would like to call to everyone's attention that you go to PacificNetwork.org and see what some of our affiliates are doing. We have over 200 affiliates, and some of them are very, very small, but very, very mighty. And I think it's always inspirational to see how much these stations are doing, the wide variety of it. I somehow got on the KHOI list in Ames, Iowa, so they send me solicitations for money with events, and it's always very interesting to see what, you know, what communities are doing to get people together and get on the same page, inform them, and solicit, fundraisers. So you might want to check out PacificNetwork.org. So just a thought, because that's something that I've always been very interested in. And hopefully next month I'll have something to say about COI and governance.
Ron, you're muted.
Seems like a lot of that going around. So that was item 13 on our agenda. Item 14, thank you, is confirmation of the next LSB meeting, which is April 8th. Item 15, then, is to adjourn. Unless there's other business, do I get a motion to adjourn? Susan seconded. Jane.
Yeah, I'm motion.
Jane that. Did as well. There's a lot of hands going
there's
up.
There's a crowd.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate the input. Appreciate that.
Thank you, everyone. Right. Thanks. Share.
Thank
everybody,
you.
Be safe.
Thank right. you.
Bye-bye.
That concludes the meeting. We can take it off the stream.
Thank you, everyone, for your hard work. Mm-hmm.